1 Samuel chapter 18, the passion and the poison. Number one, David's friend. Number two, David's fans. Number three, David's foe. The passion and the poison. A man passionate for God, another poisoned by bitterness. Which one are you? You're a boy. He's a man. You're a shepherd. He's a warrior. You're young. He's old. You're small. He's big. You're inexperienced. He's vastly experienced. He's 9 foot tall and growing. And look at the size of his helmet. Look at the metal gleaming on his armor. Look at the size of his spear. The tip weighs an absolute ton almost. You've got no chance. He is too big to fight. Your Majesty, he is too big to miss. I have fought a bear. I have fought a lion. I'm telling you, I can split a hair with my sling and stone. I never miss. I will take on this uncircumcised Philistine in the name of the Lord of hosts. So you see David running towards the giant. The sling goes round. The stone goes up. The giant comes down. The roar goes up. And the chase is on as the Philistines are chased. And the victory is won in the name of the Lord of hosts. And the son of Jesse, in the name of the son of David, the Lord of hosts, the King of kings, slays the enemies of the Lord. Episode 3, the passion and the poison. Number 1, David's friend. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse the Bethlehemite." And then chapter 18. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David and his armor and even his sword and his bow and his belt. David's friend, a soulmate who was spiritual and humble and transparent and generous and loyal. There it is. You can read it for yourself there in the scripture. Remember that Jonathan, he is the prince regent. He is many years older than David. We know that because he's already a commander in the army. This is a boy. He can't even be called up. And yet Jonathan, seeing how David has gone out in the name of the Lord of hosts and slain the giant, his soul is knit to his. A soulmate. It is a spiritual relationship. There is something about his zeal for the Lord of hosts that has attracted Jonathan to him. Remember that in chapter 14, Jonathan himself, with his armor bearer, has gone against the Philistine garrison. When he sees now David having slain the giant, it's as if there's something in his heart which says, him and I are brothers, soulmates, brothers in the Lord, the same mind, the same heart, the same vision, the same passion, the same will. And their souls were knit together in a spiritual union. So much so that later we will find that they strengthen each other's hand in God. I want you to notice, secondly, that it's a humble one. He won't let him go home. He takes him to the palace. He honors him. You're not going home now. Hey, shepherd boy, you're going to come to the palace again. He'd already played the harp for Saul in that palace. But on this particular day, it's as if he says, look, you're coming to live in my house. I want you to be my friend. We will serve together. He honors him, the prince and the shepherd. And then it's a transparent one, verse 3. They make a covenant. It's a pact, an agreement. There's no pretense in this relationship. They want to honor the Lord together. In fact, it's so transparent that by the time we reach chapter 23, Jonathan is saying clearly, David, though I am the prince regent, you will be the next king. No hint of jealousy. Nothing competitive. Nothing negative, nasty. No envy. No what ifs. No, just a transparent covenant. Look, we will make a pact together to be friends through thick and thin, and you will be the king and I will be a servant of that king. And it is a generous one. Look what happens, verse 4. Here, take my robe, this royal robe, this purple robe. Here, take my armor, take my sword, take my bow, take my belt. Everything that is associated with a regal prince now is given to David. It symbolizes position. It symbolizes status. It symbolizes the fact that he is now the prince regent, anointed to be the king of Israel. And it is a loyal one. We know that. Because even when David, according to verse 5, becomes so successful that everybody knows that the Lord is with him, he becomes respected and esteemed and loved by everyone. Yet, this man, Jonathan, will defend his friend even before his father, who says, what are you doing, son? Don't you know that this man is a threat to you? But he's loyal. Loyal to the core. He will even weep with him and care for him. David's friend, Jonathan. Oh, to have a friend like that. A soulmate. Spiritual, humble, transparent, generous, loyal. Oh, to be a friend like that. Number 2, David's fans. Let's read from verse 5 onwards. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him, so that Saul set him over the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. As they were coming home, when David returned from striking down the Philistine, the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with songs of joy, with musical instruments. And the women sang to one another as they celebrated, Saul has struck down his thousands, and David his 10,000s. I wonder if you can picture that scene. Saul decides he will lead an army this time. He was a coward before, wasn't he? But as they're coming back, a song of victory is on the lips of women who come out with tambourines that come from all over the place. But they're singing not about Saul, they're singing about David. I want to engage you.
Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. Na na na, na na. Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. Na 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 na. And they're dancing, and they've got their tambourines, and they're tapping their feet, and they can't wait to see the young hero, the young celebrity. He's the golden boy of Israel. He's Mr. Israel, 1025 BC. He's the pin-up boy. He's the superstar. If they had mobile phones, everyone would want a selfie with him. If there were photographers, they would be taking photographs and putting them in the Jerusalem Times or whatever it was. Can you imagine? And what's more, this song is top of the pops. Saul has slain his thousands. David his 10,000s. And when they find out that he plays the harp, and when they find out that he composes songs, and when they find out such a wonderful melody like "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," they will soar to the top of the hit parade. He's the man of the moment. Young, rugged, handsome, brave. The man who took on the giant. Everyone wants his autograph. Everyone wants a bit of him. I got a bit of his hair. He walked by me, the perfume of his sweat. Oh, it was amazing. Should see his eyes. He's fair and ruddy. That's what the Bible says. He's on his way to becoming a superstar. I dream about him at night. When I need you in my arms. When I need you and all your charms, all I've got to do is dream. He's a superstar. He's a celebrity. He's got fans. He's got fame. He is popular. And he's successful. Everything he touches at the moment seems to turn to gold. Oh, what would it be like to be married to him? "You can marry my daughter," said Saul the king. "Yes, you can." There's a bit of a hitch. And we'll have to wait for that one. His fans, his fame, everybody's talking about him. Imagine today what he'd be like with the internet. Everybody would know about him. Number three. We have David's foe. Because you see, Saul had made him a commander. I mean, that's what everybody talks about. Look, he's a friend of a prince, this David. Look, he's a captain in the army, this David. Look, he's loved by the people, this David. Look, he's respected by the court. He's popular with the ladies. He's known as the Lord's man. The favor of the Lord is upon him. Everything he touches seems to turn to gold. But he's a threat now to Saul. A real threat to Saul. Look what it says. Let's read it together. "And Saul was very angry. And this saying displeased him. He said, 'They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed thousands. And what more can he have but the kingdom?' And Saul kept an eye on David from that day on. The next day, a harmful spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he raved within his house while David was playing the lyre. As he did day by day, Saul had his spear in his hand, and Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, 'I will pin David to the wall.' But David evaded him twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. So Saul removed him from his presence and made him a commander of thousands. And he went out and came in before the people. And David had success in all his undertakings, for the Lord was with him." Saul pretends to be a friend. In fact, becomes a foe. This, the tallest man in Israel, this giant, becomes tiny.
He comes riddled with poison. He's very angry. That's what the Bible says. He's like a mountain about to pour out all the lava. Or maybe he's imploding inside, boiling up, looking fine on the outside, raging on the inside. Not only is he very angry, he's very surly. We read that he's moody, petty. Oh, the sayings displeased him. He's easily hurt. He's touchy. And he becomes jealous. He's after my kingdom. What more does he want? This giant killer wants to become a king killer. I must get rid of him. He becomes suspicious. Do you know what it says? He eyed him. Have you ever had someone who thinks, I've got my eye on you? I'm watching you. I'm suspicious of everything you say, every move you make. Not only does he become suspicious, he becomes hypocritical. David played the lyre. He played the harp. He brought some soothing music. It would be like living in Jeff and Jean's home where they put on the music, you know, Brahms and Strauss and all that sort of stuff, where you sort of just relax. David played the harp and sang the songs that calmed a manic king down. But all the time, while David is playing, supposedly, bringing comfort to the king is raging. And he becomes murderous. There's no room for the two of us here. I must kill him. He picks up the spear. He hurls it at him. David is so quick, he dodges. In fact, he will make numerous attempts upon his life. And he becomes fearful. Fearful of David's popularity? No. Fearful of the fact that the Lord is with him and has departed from Saul. He becomes paranoid. Fixated. Brain racing all the time. Thinking only of David, David, David as a threat, threat, threat. David loved Saul. The rest of the story will prove that to be the case. And he becomes a man abandoned. The bitter, twisted spirit has choked the life out of him. David's friend, David's fans, David's foe. Here's some lessons. Take them home. Lesson number one, beware of the toxic poison of bitterness. Beware of the toxic poison of bitterness. I won't forgive. I won't forget. I won't let go. I won't put it right. I will grieve the Spirit. Over and over and over and over and over again. I will quench the operations of God's Holy Spirit in my life. And I couldn't care less. I won't. I shan't. I can't. The Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption, that all bitterness, anger, wrath, clamor, evil speaking, and all malice be put away from you, and be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ also forgave you. Bitterness, which is unrepented of, is one of the marks of apostates. Number two, it's not fans we need. It's favor. The favor of the Lord was upon David. The Lord is with him.
The Lord is with him. The Lord is with him.
Living the Christian life is not a popularity vote. It's not who you think is most gifted. It is not great gifts that God blesses. It is likeness unto Christ. It is the favor of the Lord upon the life of a man or a woman as they seek to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. It is not a competition. It's God's favor, God's smile, God's anointing upon our lives that we long and ache and crave and pray for. It's not fans we need. Not big churches we need. Oh no. It's a humble man or woman of God walking the way that the Bible teaches, saying in his heart, "Oh Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. Oh, let me hear you speaking. Oh, let me see your footmarks and in them plant my own. Oh, let me hear you speaking in accents clear and still above the storms of passion, the murmurs of self-will. Oh, speak to reassure me, to hasten all control. Oh, speak and make me listen, thou guardian of my soul. Let me walk in the anointing of the Lord, full of the Holy Ghost." Number three, be a soulmate. Be a soulmate. A genuine, compassionate, spiritual, humble, transparent, generous, loyal soulmate. Nothing to hide. Nothing to prove. Nothing to fear. No needing to impress someone. Not in any competition with anyone. Not envious or jealous or narrow or nasty or negative. Be a real friend. And be like the lover of your soul, Jesus. I love this poem, "Oh, to be nothing." Yes, nothing. Humbly to sit at his feet, a broken and empty vessel for the Master's use made meet. Empty so that he might fill me, so I in his footsteps may go, broken so that unhindered his life through me might flow. Or as the hymn writer said, "Have thine own way, Lord. Hold all my being absolute sway. Fill with your spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Deliver me from envy and jealousy and competitiveness. And make me a channel of your peace. Make me a Jonathan. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. Where there is doubt, true faith in you. Oh, Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. Where there is sadness, ever joy." Be that sort of soulmate. And be like Jesus. He is the friend that sticks closer than any brother. He gives to us a brand new garment, a robe of righteousness. Never will it lose its glory or its beauty or its hue. He covers us in a righteousness which we cannot earn, which we don't deserve, but which will never change. It makes us right with God, accepted in the Beloved. And every victory won is given to us through Christ and through Christ alone. Do you know that righteousness covering you? Do you? Clothed in righteousness divine, right with God, at peace with Him,
and a peace with those around you. You say, if he's a man after God's own heart, how come there's so much hassle, violence, pain, rejection? What's going to happen next? I mean, will he marry Saul's daughter? And what will be the price of that marriage? And will Saul win the day by trying to get rid of David? Don't miss next week's thrilling installment. And pray that God will make you and me a man or woman after his own heart. Let's stand and sing.